the Civic Media Radio Network, moving Wisconsin forward one joke at a time. This is As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Broad.
And so it goes, and so it goes, and so it goes, and so it goes. But where it's going, no one knows. Hello, Wisconsin!
Now, filling in for the new mom, here's Jane Matinere.
Good morning and welcome, welcome to As Goes Wisconsin. So happy to have you along today. Errol Kane is with me live in studio from our studio in beautiful downtown Waukesha. Calvin is on the board, and you can always join us. Call or text at 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Busy, busy show coming up today. Next hour, we will start off with Dr. Kristen Lyerly for our public cervix announcement. It's going to be a good one.
I'm going to have to be very, very careful.
And then on Milwaukee.com's Matt Miller will be here at 11:33 to talk about movies and the best and worst movies of this past year. So I hope you can stick around for that. We're going to start off, though, with the, and I know Earl also covered this morning, but this is important.
This is big. Yes.
It is big. Herb Kohl, of course. A former Democratic U.S. Senator from Wisconsin, a former owner of the Milwaukee Bucks, has died at the age of 88.
Right, right.
What an influential man.
He wore a lot of hats.
He really did.
I mean, you know, he was influential when it came to politics, with the Bucks, with his philanthropy. I mean, he was worth millions, and he gave away millions. And he also opened the door, from what I understand, he was a very generous man when it came to helping younger people get into
college
and working. And I've met him a number of times, and he was so meek.
He was very unassuming.
Right. You would... If you saw him out and about, he was very affable.
Yep.
He would talk to you. He would say hello. And he was just that kind of guy. And coming from, it's always surprising to me when you have people who have that kind of wealth and they're like a mensch. Yep. You know what I mean?
Yep. They're just a normal person.
Yeah.
Just a regular person. Herb Kohl, of course, born in Milwaukee. A childhood friend of Bud Selig, who later became the commissioner of Major League Baseball.
Didn't they room together?
They were roomies at the University of Wisconsin and were friends through all of their lifetimes. I'm pretty sure that they used to meet at, what's the deli on the east side?
Benji's?
Benji's. I'm pretty sure that he and Herb Kohl used to meet there at least like once a week.
I wouldn't be surprised by that. I mean, I've heard of him sitting at Solly's. I've heard him sitting, you know, just hanging out.
Just hanging.
Yeah.
He got his bachelor's degree from the University of Wisconsin in 56, then got a master's in business from Harvard. He also served in the Army Reserve from 58 to 64 and then helped grow the family-owned business, Kohl's Grocery and Department Stores. He was the company president in the 1970s. The corporation sold in 1979. He also got into Wisconsin politics in the 70s. He was the chair of the state Democratic Party for a number of years. In 85, he bought the Bucks for $18 million.
Turned that around for a hefty profit, didn't he?
Yeah, I think that worked. That was a deal that worked out pretty
well. That worked out pretty well. But, you know, in all honesty, who knows if we would have had NBA basketball if he hadn't stepped forward and paid out. It probably would have gone away.
They would have left.
Right.
Yeah, I think that's almost a given that we would have lost the Bucks. And granted, they went through some rocky years after Kohl bought them.
Sure.
But still, he was really passionate about the need to keep the team in Milwaukee. And look what it's turned into.
It's a dynasty at this particular juncture.
It's looking pretty good.
Yeah.
It's looking pretty good. You mentioned his philanthropy. He donated $25 million to the University of Wisconsin to help build the Kohl Center, which is now the school's basketball and hockey teams.
Right.
The largest single private donation in school history.
Well, you know, there you go. I mean, his commitment level, not only to the city, but also to the state, was really evident. You know what I mean?
Yep.
That's what I love. You know, it's that, hey, just a normal kid from Milwaukee, and his family happened to build this big business, and then he went into politics, and you know, I don't know if there was too much politically that he was involved with when it came to like big bills or things like that.
He was very involved in some dairy bills.
Yeah.
Because he was always looking out for Wisconsin's farmers, is my understanding.
That was their big one, yes, yeah. Of course.
So he was pretty involved in that. He also, something I did not know, he never accepted a pay raise in all the years he was in the Senate. So he drew a salary of $89,500 every year, which is the same pay he got when he entered the Senate in 1989, and then he gave the rest back to the Treasury Department. Because now they're making $174,000 a year.
Wow.
I mean, granted, it's not like he needed the money.
Right, right.
But I think there are other wealthy members of Congress, if you ever posited that to them, they would laugh in your face.
Right. I mean, it does speak to his character and the fact that he realized that he didn't need the money and, you know, I'll just draw my regular salary and we just keep moving forward. In all honesty, there are very few people that wouldn't take that pay raise.
Oh,
very, very,
very
few. Very, very few.
Definitely. And again, he didn't take the raise and gave it back to the Treasury. So I never met him myself.
Yeah.
But when I was looking at Twitter last night and some of the things that people were saying, and as you said too, Carol, he was very affable. He was very helpful. One woman mentioned how when she was a kid, she got away from her mother at the store at a Kohl's, and mom is frantically searching for her child. And who comes over but this quiet, unassuming man says, is this little redhead yours?
Oh,
and it was Herb Kohl.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
Liz did that to me once.
She wandered away, or did you just leave her there?
Ouch. Ouch. No, what she did, and Herb wasn't there to help me, but I will say this, that the other employees really rallied around me. So he hired really quality people.
Yeah.
And we found her in, it was like one of those rings of shirts, and she was inside.
Hiding.
Stinker.
I wonder where she got that from. No idea.
That apple didn't fall far.
No idea at all. We also have another loss that we wanted to talk about, and you knew Bobby Rivers pretty well.
I knew Bobby Rivers, and he was probably one of the nicest men, too. Just a wonderful, wonderful guy. And you forget how influential he was in the fact that he worked for Channel 12. He was a VJ for MTV.
Right.
When he left the city, he was a VJ for MTV. But I don't think an awful lot of people do realize that he was the first TV critic or film critic, the first African-American film critic in the nation.
That is just so hard to wrap your brain around.
When he was with 12, he became their film critic, and he was the first African-American film critic in the nation, and a nicer guy you could never meet. He was funny. He was outgoing. He, too, very approachable. Just a lovely, just a good-hearted soul.
Yeah.
And he died at 70. He was 70. And from what I understand, it was a colon cancer situation with him. And my father died of that. And it's horrible.
It is horrible. It is horrible.
But he was a lovely, lovely man, and he will be missed.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And as you said, I know that I talked to him a couple times over the years before he left the city and went on to become, he was a, you know, the VJ, and he was a radio TV host, and he did some acting as well. And
right,
like you said, he was hilarious and very genuine.
Right. These two guys, Let's take a look at this. This is what Wisconsin produces. How about that? How about take that, Chicago?
Take that, and the entire state of Illinois.
I just, you know, we are always kind of like looked down like we're like some country bumpkins, and we don't produce anybody that's of any quality. And here we have two men that have recently passed that couldn't be more quality.
And I think, as you mentioned, couldn't be more reflective of the values, right?
Right.
Of Wisconsin values about giving back and doing good and looking out for each other. And
I mean, Bobby, if you asked, he would do anything for you. I mean, if you had needed a favor from him and just said, hey, could you help me out? Absolutely. He was there in a New York minute. He was. He's a great guy.
And I want to mention this, too, before I forget about it. Bravo to Herb Kohl for giving $100 million of his own money in order to get the Pfizer Forum built.
Yes.
$100 million of his own money. Mm-hmm. And granted, he has a lot of money. But it would have been nice if some other sports team owners decided that they
could help out a little
Could throw in a couple 50, 75 million, $100 million.
That's stupid money to me. I've got $100 in my purse right now, and I'm feeling pretty Diamond Jim.
Ooh, we're rolling in the big cash now.
Woohoo! So we mourn them, and they will be missed. And I understand that there's going to be a very public memorial for her.
I believe it.
At the Pfizer Forum, I think.
That's only fitting.
Yeah.
That's only fitting.
Mm-hmm.
So rest in peace, Herb Kohl and Bobby Rivers. When we come back.
Oh, golly, here we go.
It's going to be quite a switch. Have you heard about the chancellor at UW La Crosse?
You mean the former chancellor?
The former chancellor at UW.
Yes.
Everybody needs a hobby.
Oh, golly, it's something.
I guess.
It's interesting.
It's very interesting. And some interesting questions about free speech and, you know, personal freedoms. So stay with us. You're listening to As Goes Wisconsin across the Civic Media Radio Network. Goes Wisconsin. Jane Matinere in for Kristen Bry, my friend and colleague Carol Kane with me in studio. Calvin is on the board, and you can always join us at 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. Just a reminder, if you're going to be hanging at home on New Year's Eve, and I know a lot of people do that, you can ring in the new year with Civic Media. Lou Rogani is going to be hosting, shaking off the new year, the old year, and dancing our way into the new year. It's going to be all across our Civic Media network. So that's New Year's Eve.
Wow.
Join us on Civic Media from 7 until midnight. Lou's got a huge musical collection. So
oh, great.
It should be a lot of fun.
I'm going to tune in and try and see if I can make it till midnight.
Paul and I haven't made it. I can't even tell you the last time we made it to midnight on New Year's Eve.
I think maybe when the kids were little. And we kind of like stretched it out because they wanted to go out and bang the pans and, sure. You know, that kind of a thing.
Okay.
We used to get all dressed up and go out for dinner.
So did we.
But we put that on the back burner too because it's just like, no.
Why?
I'm just going to make something here. We're having hamburgers and tater tots.
That sounds delicious, actually.
We're going to have hamburgers and tater tots.
All right. I would really love to hear your thoughts on this. It's such an interesting story. University of Wisconsin La Crosse Chancellor Joe Gao got fired by the Board of Regents last night after revelations came out about his involvement in the adult film industry.
Right.
So he and his wife
Sexy happy couple. That's what they're online under. That's their name. Sexy happy couple. And what they're doing is they're hosting, like, from what I understand, like a cooking show where they're invited.
I think it's a vegan cooking show.
And they bring porn stars in to help in the kitchen.
To cook.
Right. And there are some videos that are out there.
They're on OnlyFans, as well as Pornhub and X-Hamster. I don't even know what that is. That frightens me.
I should be happy for that. I'm happy to hear that.
What, that I don't know what that is?
Yeah,
I think some of their videos have been viewed more than 200,000 times. All of them were posted in the last 2 months.
Wow, they're busy.
Well, and recent.
Yeah, okay, here's the thing.
Yeah.
And we've made this statement multiple times, right? In the fact that in our world right now, people are so caught up and weird about sex. So, and we understand it's a natural thing and people have it. I've got two kids, so I know all about it. But I just think there's a place and a time. And I don't understand why he's so upset that he got fired. You're the chancellor of a UW school.
But it seems like he's arguing it's a free speech issue. I have the right to do this. And it's not illegal. What he's doing is not illegal.
No, but Jane, come on. Let's talk about this. Just say you and me. Okay?
Yeah.
Don't you think for 1 minute that civic media might pull you in and go, we're not happy about this?
I would assume so, yes.
Because I can tell you, in my previous incarnations and working on radio, there was a moral situation that I was held under. You know, that was it.
Like a morality clause.
Right. When I leave this space, I am never not Carol Kane. And I have to keep that in mind. You are never not Jane Matinere.
Right.
People know who we are.
We use our own names.
Right. And so I just think that you have to be smart about this. And I just don't, you can claim First Amendment. He's going to pursue some legalities.
I would assume so.
Because now he's lost his gig. But I just, it's weird. It's just weird. Oh,
and this is kind of mean. I mean, he's a good looking man.
He's okay.
But he is 63 years old.
Right.
I'm 63 years old. I avoid looking at myself naked.
Oh, honey, when I get out of the shower, I race to get away.
to pass the mirror.
And as we get to this stage in life, gravity starts to take its toll.
Yes, it does.
And it's not, God love them that they're happy.
Yeah, absolutely.
And if this is your healthy sex life is in your future, or God love you. But I just think you have to read the room. Read the room.
844-967-2789 if you want to call or text or leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter. Stephen from Green Bay is on the line. Good morning, Stephen. What do you want to say about this?
So I'm going to come at you with a younger millennial viewpoint on this.
Awesome.
So this is what I got to say about this. First of all, thank you for telling me why this guy was let go, because I saw late last night that he was let go, but I was having trouble finding the reason why. So now I understand the reason why.
Okay.
This is what I got to say about it. I have a problem with jobs, whether it's a university or a school, disciplining people based on what they do in their personal lives. You're not on the clock for that specific employer. And so I have a problem with that specific employer saying, well, you work for us, so everything you do, whether you're at work or not, we control it now. That's just an area that I've always had issue with. And honestly, on his free time, if him and his wife want to do this, more power to him, I think. also hear, you know, teachers on OnlyFans getting fired because people find them on OnlyFans. So what? I guess that's just my thought process on the whole deal.
Okay. No, I appreciate that, Stephen. Thank you very much for checking in. I appreciate it. 844-967-2789. I don't disagree that what you do when you're not at work should not necessarily impact your job. And I think we do see that playing out a lot more.
Yeah.
With people saying racist things or whatever on their video posts or their Twitter feeds and ramifications from that.
Right. Well, I'm reading there's an article in the UK Mail, which is they're always spot on. You know what I mean? And it says the outrage over his behavior is evidenced by the unanimous vote by the UW Board of Regents to terminate him as chancellor. We are alarmed and disgusted by his actions, which are wholly and undeniably inconsistent with his role as chancellor. So that's their hook. You know,
that's their position.
Right. That's their position. And I'm surprised that in his contract, there is not a morality kind of a thing.
That I find that surprising as well. We're going to keep this going. The news is coming up next. If you want to join in the conversation, 844-967-2789. I hope you'll stay close. This is As Goes Wisconsin across the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome to As Goes Wisconsin. Jane Matner in for Kristen Bry. My friend and colleague Carol Kane with me live from our studios in beautiful downtown Waukesha. Calvin is on the board. You can join us as well, 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY if you want to call or text or leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. We are talking about former University of Wisconsin lacrosse chancellor John Gow, who just got fired last night, ending a 17-year career after he and his wife, over the last 2 months, posted naked vegan cooking shows with porn stars.
It's just... Okay, I have so many questions. One... You know, I heard him, he was interviewed by somebody, and he was talking about the fact that when he got reprimanded for paying that porn star $5,000 to come and be a speaker,
right,
that the student population actually grew. And he attributed that to the fact that people want to go to a place that's progressive enough to present
to
stuff like this. Okay, fine. I have no hard numbers. I can't. You know,
right. Confirm or deny. Yeah.
Right. But, you know, I couldn't find a porn star if you paid me to. Where do they have a mainline to the porn industry? I mean, where do they come from? Could you, honest to God, I mean, and I, Jeremy, what's his name, who was a big porn star, we had him on the show. That's the only guy I could muster up.
I think we travel in slightly different circles than those people, Carol. just moderately. We have a couple of texts. I'm curious. Should he have lost his job, or is this just free speech and they shouldn't have fired him? 844-967-2789. A text from our friend Lynn in Oconomowoc. She says, good morning. It's called decorum. And that's kind of what you and I were talking about as well, right?
Yeah. Once again, you have to know what you're dealing with. And if they've hired you to be around like younger people,
and
students.
I mean, they're not technically children, but they are young adults,
and
18, 19 years old.
I would say if the cooking show was one thing with these porn stars, but I think it's the videos that push everybody over the top.
The actual sexual acts.
Yeah. Yeah.
Texter from the 541, when folks have different moral standards, who wins? Apparently the one who signs the paycheck. Also, the UW regents are so worried about the reputation of a chancellor, but not the diversity, equality, and inclusivity of its students and staff. Again, he said, John Gow said essentially that he wanted to test the limits of free speech. After years, this is from the Journal Sentinel, after years of hearing UW leaders talk about the importance of free speech, Gow decided to test it. He felt it was apt with only months left in his chancellorship. So, and he was making good money.
He was making really good money, and he was the longest serving chancellor at UW Cross. But I think that's kind of his spin, if you will. I don't necessarily buy that theory. I just don't. I think this is something that he and his wife are into.
Yep.
And, you know, pushing the boundaries. I don't know if I'm hook, line, and sinker in that one. I just don't think I am. I'll tell you this. My pair, if I was at UW La Crosse and this happened when I was there.
Oh, your parents would have lost their minds, right?
Oh, my dad would have. He'd be driving to La Crosse right now to unload everything.
To pull you out, yeah. But I think, too, the attitude toward pornography from our generation to younger generations like Stephen, who called, is vastly different.
Oh, it's
vastly different.
It's vastly, vastly different. And the one porn star who came in to speak, she said, this is fantasy. And I get it. She goes, porn is fantasy. But I got to be honest with you. I was watching something on Netflix, and it was, I mean, it was mind blowing. All of a sudden, I'm like, what? I turned it off when Lou walked in the door because I knew he would look at me and go, what are you watching? And I was just like, it was one of those things where it was just a Netflix movie, but the sex just became unbelievable. And you're drawn in, you're sucked in. It's like going into a catfish hole. You just, good Lord.
I can't leave now.
The guy was super good looking and that kind of stuff.
Well,
which always
there's
helped.
A shock. Yes, there's a shock because there's so many unattractive people in porn. That's where everyone goes.
Well, look at who I was just talking about. Why can't I think of his last name? Jeremy.
I know who you're talking about. Who was not an attractive man.
No, no. Yeah. And I mean, he was a pioneer in the porn industry. And to tell you the truth, when we did interview him, I was out in Los Angeles and he stopped by the show. And nice guy, but yeah, mud fence, man. Mud fence.
Oh, it was Ron Jeremy.
Ron Jeremy,
right?
That's it.
Ron Jeremy. If he was fired, Pat says from listening from the 715, Gow lost his pension if he was fired. Yeah. But again, he was making like $274,000 a year. I would hope he was able to save something.
Well, and he's hoping.
Over the years.
He is hoping that the Food Network is going to come calling. You know he is. He wants to do some kind of niche Food Network thing that probably, you know, at 2 o'clock in the morning.
And it'll be the Nude Network.
I once again.
Take the idea, Mr. Gow. Go ahead.
If this is your thing, God love you. I'm just not. I'm not a prude by any stretch of the imagination, but it's just not my thing.
Right, right. Another text. These college kids are old enough to vote. 60% have cooked a meal. 75% or so have had sex. So how does this guy not represent the student body? That's a good question.
Yeah. I mean, he's going to get a good lawyer who's going to spin all kinds of stuff. And that would be an angle that they could go for.
Definitely. It will be interesting to see how this all plays out.
Right,
down the road. We're going to switch gears a little bit and talk about another loss. Tommy Smothers,
who was half
of the comedy duo of the Smothers Brothers, has died at the age of 88. And for people, I think, it was 86. For people, Carol, you and I are both in our early 60s. I remember this so well.
Oh, this was must-watch TV.
It really was. And it was the first show, the Smothers Brothers Comedy Hour, which premiered in 1967, went up against Bonanza. Nobody could beat Bonanza.
Yeah.
Nobody.
Yeah.
Until the Smothers Brothers came along.
Yeah, I can still see him standing there, you know, and it was such a simple it was a really simple show.
It was. There were folk singers.
Right,
they started out as folk singers and then worked their comedy into it.
Is the other brother still with us?
He is.
Oh, okay, all right.
And he's on his fifth marriage.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, that's how you roll as a Smothers brother.
I guess so. Do we have that clip, Calvin? I think it's Impossible Dream. Let's hit that.
That's what this song means to me. Do you understand, Tom? Did you listen to me? Did you pay attention?
Yes.
Did you comprehend?
Yes.
You did.
The impossible dream. The impossible dream. 200 years ago, the world gave birth to a new nation, America. And George Washington was father of our country. George Washington. George Washington, they said George Washington slept here, he slept there. Yet he was still elected president. Today that is an impossible dream.
Not really.
George Washington, I think we all remember the story of George Washington and the cherry tree. George Washington chopped down the cherry tree. He just chopped it down. He just willfully chopped down the cherry tree. Yet, when asked about the chopping down of the cherry tree, George Washington said, "I cannot tell a lie. I did it. I cannot tell a lie. I did it." Some historians believe that was the last time a president had a memory. Chopped down and no one's claiming they did it. No one will admit and say, "Yes, I did it." Why can't today's leaders just say, "Yes, I did it. Yes, I did it." Why can't they say, "Yes, I knew about the arms deal. Yes, yes, I slept with other women. Yes, I stole money and never told anybody. Yes, I made a mistake in Central America. Yes, I am oppressed. Yes, I'll write a book." Great moral lesson. He taught us that it is better to tell the truth about a lie than to lie about the truth. Yes, 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 just say yes.
The impossible dream.
Sample of Tom and Dick Smothers, yeah, from the Smothers Brothers Comedy Hour. They were only on the air for 3 years. They started getting in trouble with the censors at CBS.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize that.
Oh, yeah. The Vietnam War was going on, and they started doing some commentary about the Vietnam War.
Oh.
And I believe at one point, the producers actually required them to pre-record the show 10 days in advance so the censors would have time to start cutting things.
Oh, golly. I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
I didn't realize they'd become that controversial. See, I just remember it as just this kind of lighthearted, really fun kind of show. And it was, you know, family watch time.
Yes.
Smothers Brothers are on.
Yes.
You know, take our TV dinner and go sit in front of the TV.
The black and white TV.
Oh, God. Yeah, I know. Simpler time.
Oh, much simpler time. I spent a lot of the time last night. If you want to look at old clips from this Smothers Brothers Comedy Hour, you can find them on YouTube. There's tons of them.
Oh, sure.
And it's just so interesting to me how different comedy was then and how comedy has evolved.
Oh.
Because they would take 6.5 or 7 minutes, which on the air is a long time.
That's a long time.
It's a very long time. They would start out with, you know, a song, and they'd go about 2.5 minutes into the song, and then they would do their comedy bit that would go through the rest and then do a little more song. And it was just I don't think people would have the patience for that anymore.
We're valid. Yeah.
We're so used to getting right to the, you know, it's set up, punchline, set up, punchline, set up, punchline.
You're right. You're right.
I don't know that people would be able to stick around.
They can't stand the development of it. You know what I mean? It's just, I was telling you off the air, I was watching a Ricky Gervais special on Netflix, and I even got antsy. He's on for like, it's over an hour, And I mean, he weaves stuff in and it was funny, but I was just kind of like,
get to the point.
Get to the point. I know. Isn't that sad? Get to the point.
We have no patience anymore. Clavin, real quickly, this is one of the things that started getting them in trouble when they started talking about the Vietnam War.
Okay.
Our government is asking us as citizens, good citizens, to refrain from traveling to foreign lands.
Okay, all you guys in Vietnam, come on home.
It was that kind of stuff that got them in hot water with the network. And then ultimately, 69, they got fired in 1969.
Okay. Well, it doesn't surprise me, tell you the truth.
I would encourage you to go back and look at some of the videos, especially the Mom Always Liked You Best, which is what I remember the most. Because again, I was 7, 8, 9 when the show was on. So anything,
yeah, I was a little
older. Anything they said that was controversial went completely over my head. You know, it just did.
Sure.
It didn't register with me, but the Mom Always Liked You Best and Yo-Yo Man and all of that stuff, just classic comedy. You will be missed, Tom Smothers. And that show set things up for Saturday Night Live, you know,
Saturday Night Live.
And stand-up comics. And it really changed things for the better, I think.
I do too.
We're going to continue and talk about more celebrities we lost in the past year. If there is someone that sticks out especially to you, why don't you give us a call, shoot us a text, 844-967-2789. You're listening to As Goes Wisconsin. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Wisconsin, so happy to have you along. Jane Matner in for Kristen Bry. Carol King with me in studio. Calvin is on the board, and you can always join us. Call or text at 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY, talking about the death of Tommy Smothers of the Smothers Brothers Comedy Hour at the age of 86. And Texture has a really good point. The Smothers Brothers brought a young writer on board named Steve Martin.
Oh.
And Rob Reiner.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
okay.
Both of those guys.
Wow.
Were writers on the Smothers Brothers Comedy Hour. So they just changed the face of comedy in so many different ways.
It's just, you know, in all honesty, it was just such a simpler time. And it was fun where you could sit down with your family and you could walk. I mean, that doesn't happen anymore, I don't think. Do you think people sit around and watch TV together? I don't think so.
Everybody's so interested in their own stuff and everybody can watch it on their own device. So I don't know. I think families still sit down and watch movies together.
Movies, yes.
Movies, yes, but maybe not TV shows so much.
I'd be hard pressed to even think of like must watch TV at this particular juncture. Because I don't have any set time when I sit down and watch a show because I can pull it up on anything.
Yeah, exactly. You don't, there is no appointment watching anytime.
No.
Anymore.
There you go. That's
because
what
you can get it anytime you want.
Right.
Right. 844-967-2789. Talking about other people we have lost over the course of this year. Karina from Milwaukee. Good morning, Karina.
Hi.
Thanks for joining us.
Good morning, ladies. You know what I was thinking about when you were talking the change of time? And the comedy, I think it did change, and in the worst. And I'm not the specialist about it, but if you notice, guys, they don't criticize war anymore in this country. And this is the sad thing. They don't talk about it. They talk about bathrooms, genders, you name it, but they don't talk about that this nation constantly runs three wars simultaneously all over the world. And I think that's the sad part, that before people were free of for speech, and you can say that that's where it started. They start cutting them off, and that's where we got that they're not talking about it at all.
I appreciate what you're saying, Karina, but I do think it depends upon which comics you're watching. It really depends upon the comedian.
Right.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, I have some of my favorites, and there are some that I can absolutely not watch because it's so not...
Well, I don't like toilet humor, doesn't do it for me, you know, stuff like that.
Well, no, it's not imaginative.
Right. It's the lowest common denominator.
And after a while, and I'm this way with my movies too, it's like, okay, I know the word, I've heard the word, I've said the word, you don't have to beat me over the head with
the word.
Okay, yeah. I get it.
You were watching Scarface, right? Yeah.
Oh, any of those.
Al Pacino had two lines. It was
right.
The same two lines.
Right.
All right. Also recognizing we lost Norman Lear this year, who was 101.
Right. He's so influential.
So influential. TV writer, film producer, activist, created All in the Family, which then led to a whole bunch of spinoffs.
Jefferson's,
Maude.
Right. Oh, I loved Maude.
I loved Maude too. There were so many. Richard Mull, who was
Night Court. Mm-hmm.
He was 80 years old.
Yeah. He played the bailiff.
Yes.
And Tina Turner.
Yes.
Rosalind Carter.
Yes.
And Jimmy. We just lost Ryan.
Andre Braugher.
No. Married to Farrah Fawcett. Why am I blanking?
Oh, Ryan O'Neill.
Ryan O'Neill. Just lost him.
Andre Braugher, who I mentioned, who was on Brooklyn Nine-Nine, died on December 11th.
Matthew
Perry.
Suzanne Summers.
I had forgotten that Suzanne Summers passed, but that was earlier this year.
October 15th.
October 15th.
She fought breast cancer valiantly for 20 plus years.
Oh my, I had no idea.
Yeah,
it was that long.
Yeah. That's what finally, it came back with a vengeance, as it normally does.
That's tragic.
But she fought for a long time. You've got, there's some, you know, some musicians and things. Well, that guy, Tony Bennett.
Yes.
He just died. That guy from Parasite, he just died.
That was a really sad.
Right. Very sad.
Very sad.
Pee Wee Herman, Paul Rubens. We lost him. Alan Arkin.
Oh, yeah. Little Miss Sunshine, one of the funniest movies you will ever watch.
Oh, God, I love it.
It's so good.
When he's teaching her that dance.
I know.
Jimmy Buffett.
Yeah, Jimmy Buffett.
We lost Jimmy Buffett.
If you watch Sex and the City, Frances Sternhagen was Charlotte's mother-in-law
right,
when she was
right.
married to Trey.
Mm-hmm.
She was just brilliant in that role. Just brilliant.
Bob Barker.
Mr. Game Show.
I remember, and this is funny, my uncle was on The Price is Right. And
really?
Bob Barker called him down. And I can still see it as clear as day. Ovid Smedstead, come on down.
What was his name?
Ovid Smedstead. And, Bob, you know, even Bob Barker kind of was like, what's happening? And never has there been a worse contestant on The Price is Right. And Bob Barker was so nice to him. My uncle didn't know anything. He was an idiot.
Did he not win anything?
No, he was so far off. Of all the people that were at the show that were my family, that the fact that he, and it was because of his name, you know it.
Ovid Smedstead.
Ovid Smedstead, come on down. And he couldn't kick his way out of a paper bag.
I'm writing this name down in case I ever write a book. I'm going to use that.
O-V-I-D.
Ovid. Ovid Smedstead.
Yeah.
Is mm-hmm. so good. You didn't, is your son like Alexander Ovid?
No. No.
You missed a chance there.
We also lost Sinead O'Connor.
Yes.
I mean, a lot of...
Michael Gambon, who was Dumbledore in David McCollum.
Mm-hmm.
From The Man from U.N.C.L.E., who I adored, Ilya Kuryakin.
Oh, gosh. I mean, it's just, it goes on. Treat Williams. Yes. I loved him in the Hallmark Channel stuff. Loved him.
So many people, rest in peace to all of them. You will be missed. Stay with us when we return after the news. It's public service announcement with Dr. Kristen Lyerly. You're listening to As Goes Wisconsin across the Civic Media Radio Network.